Adelaide Tools massive steel outdoor power equipment massive two-day sale is on Friday and Saturday. All five stores, adelaidetools.com.au.
Oh, Roo, it's going to be a big, big Tuesday morning. How are you today? Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm ready for the grumpy old men. They are up and about. They are coming in early this morning. They get up at 4:30. They got nothing else to do. They go to bed at just after tea time and about 6:30.
Old people don't sleep, do they?
No, they don't sleep. They don't need it. And they need to get up and annoy people. So they'll be in early today. Matt Preston will be joining us later on in the show as well. We love having Matt in to have a chat. Brad Ebert's going to join us. We're going to find out about Port Adelaide and where they're at, Dits. People starting to get a bit angry about their performance on the weekend.
Something that will affect everyone, Roo. Teachers look like they're going to strike on July 1 if things don't change with Rob Lucas and his budget right now.
Aren't they pretty well paid, or where do you sit?
I think they are, but clearly they're not happy about something. We'll get to the bottom of it, all right, a little bit later on. And well done, South Australia. We are number one. We've reached the top of the tree.
What for?
Methamphetamine. We are number one in the country.
The ice capital.
How bad's that?
Not good, but they're the facts.
I mean, if it's not us, it's someone else. I know that, but why us? I just can't believe it.
Yeah, and all these results come out of the wastewater treatment plant, don't they?
Yeah, they check our urine. Good job.
Bottle it and sell it to them again. Get another use out of it.
Well, I suppose, yeah.
Be cheaper.
Yeah, send it through the desal plant and come out with
quick
the meth.
Through.
Yeah. All right, Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M. Get out your Zimmer frames, chuck on a cardi, comb your hair over and crank up the tranny.
The grumpy guy story's starting to come into focus a little bit here.
On Ruin Dits, it's time for grumpy old men.
Crew, this is out of control. They're signing autographs apparently out in the street. No, they are. They're getting stopped in the street. They're getting recognised. Right? Who's on
the
panel?
They're starting to wear their t-shirts with logos and sponsorships on it. We've got Shippy back for his second week. Shippy, Bloods aren't going too well.
No, and John mentioned
last week
about the mid-season draft.
Yeah.
West Adelaide, lower end of the table, lost their two best players. 60-odd touches a week, just gone.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, but
no compensation.
We got
no
you in the mid-season draft for grumpy old man, so that's a positive.
About 5 minutes
came
ago.
Off the bench.
Pratty, enough rain up in the bush up near Butte for the farmers?
Try Blythe, where last week Dittmar went through Clare, through Blythe, which is the gateway to Clare.
Cut a swathe.
Flog of a joint, Clare.
I think he had a short stop it there too. Ditch for a little call.
The crazy horse do have a outstation at Mintero.
And Reedy, the man who used to underpay all Crows players. How are you, Reedy?
I'm good. I'm well. And I only paid them what they were deserved.
All right. Righto, boys. What was your first job and what was your pay?
Shippy.
I was a public servant, believe it or not. For a very short period of time, I was about to be the first public servant ever sacked. about 65, 70 bucks a week in 1970.
So
what were you doing?
70 bucks a week.
As a public servant, not much.
In the NWS department, Central Records on the first floor, I was blitzing him.
Pratty?
Well, I was expelled from boarding school, so...
What did you get expelled from boarding school
for? I didn't know she was underage, so I went home to the farm at Blythe. No, smoking or something. I went home to the farm at Blythe, so my first job was just working for father and... We're talking...
Pays very low when you're working for dad on a farm.
It wasn't. Underage drinking wasn't around then.
No. Reedy, what was your first job?
I was in the government, consumer affairs. First pay...
Comrade.
The first pay was, I think, about £12, something
overpaid
like that.
Again.
£12.
Yeah, I went from pound to dollar.
A week or a day.
What year was that?
In
1966.
No, wasn't a lot.
Dollars and cents.
I'm trying to know if it was a week or a... wasn't much. I bought Diver a friendship ring.
A friendship ring
cost me my whole
what
pie.
Did you do wrong? You feel guilty.
there you go. That cost me my first pay.
Shippy, do you feel sorry for young people having to buy houses these days? And what did you pay for your first house?
First house, about 20, 21 grand.
Oh, 21 grand.
Gee.
But it was tough then as well.
Do you feel sorry for them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's bloody hard to get into the market for young people that are working hard, trying their best, like everybody. They're working two jobs.
Did you have to work a couple of jobs before you bought it?
No, well, my husband and wife were working. Everything was dedicated to getting the house paid off.
Pratty?
Mine was we rented a house from a neighbouring farmer and then bought a farm that had a house on it. The ability to get into housing for people in this day and age, young ones, is, especially in the eastern states, is difficult. But thanks to ScoMo, he's brought in housing loans that are cheap.
Yes.
You can edit that
low
out.
Interest rates.
Low interest rates.
Yeah.
All right. No, but I doubt whether my son will, he's in an industry where he's going to travel around the world in theatre and music and entertainment. So, and understand that we farmed when interest rates were 21%. Yeah, they're now, what are they? You can get a housing loan for how much?
About 4 or something
like that.
Yeah, it's going to drop.
Or live in a container.
I couldn't imagine having an interest rate of 20%. No.
I had 18%.
You had 18%?
Yeah, my first house I bought was 18%.
Wow. Yeah. You need a bit of inflation for that to work. Yeah. Reedy, what was your first
And he was in the lending game, weren't you, Reedy?
Yeah. Well, no. Seacombe Heights, $14,300.
$14,000 for a house? You can't even buy a car for that.
Interest rates when I bought it were 12. 2 months later, went to 17.
Yes.
Discretionary spending went out the door pretty quick. You know, you're trying to... But the young people today, it's tough. You know, trying to get a deposit down and get it, it's hard work. Might add, they do want to go into the top end.
Yeah.
Like we
4-bedroom, 2-bathroom.
We lived on the old card Spot table on. For a while, and we had one chair and all that sort of stuff.
You had to sit on your lap.
Well, that was part of the trick.
Is that how you had triplets?
Yeah. So that was one of my little ploys, that one.
Always great to talk to the grumpy old man. Thanks for coming in, boys.
What's a goal?
Ruined Dits Overnight Sports.
Watch NRL reigning premiers as Sydney Roosters take on their fierce rivals, the Melbourne Storm, on Friday 28th of June at Adelaide Oval. Tickets at tickettech.com.au.
Roo, as we know, a lot of talk after the weekend's footy as far as extra security at the grounds is concerned. Gil McLachlan, AFL boss, has come out and apologised for the overzealous security measures.
Yep, and he's going to face the media today, and a lot of people having a crack at him about not talking to the public enough. He is still saying it hasn't been his directive, so it'd be interesting to see what comes out of his mouth today. So, look, I'm fine with them trying to make things better, but they just need to communicate it to the public.
All right, Jeff Kennett had his say yesterday.
And I'm not being racist when I say this, but when I saw some of the footage, the people who are making judgments while they wear these authoritative coats are not people who appear to have a great knowledge of our game.
Come under a bit of pressure yesterday about that, Jeff Kennett, but he is partly right. There's no doubt about it because, and I can back it up, I saw footage down in Tasmania yesterday, the GWS and North Melbourne game. One of the security guards, actually, who was on the boundary, there was a wrestle going on between Jack Zeeble and a GWS player, and he walked onto the ground to break up the wrestle in the middle of a game.
You're kidding.
So he has no idea what AFL football
what's
is
right,
and
what's
his role and responsibility. Now, that's not that bloke's fault. It's the person who trains the security guards about what to do. So, you know, it's pretty poor.
Fair point. All right, let's move on. Brad Ebert comes in later on this morning to chat to us. He, along with Ollie Wines and Charlie Dixon, will be pushing for selection to take on Geelong
this
weekend.
Dits, I'm sure you want to know what happened at the review yesterday, because not scoring in the last quarter and getting flogged in the last quarter is not good enough.
No, need to know. Very good point. Hey, Tex Walker spoke on Channel 7 News last night, very buoyant about the Crows, obviously.
I don't think we've fully hit our straps yet, so it's pleasing that we're in a good spot and we haven't played our best footy yet.
So, can get better.
They've got another gear, I'm sure of that.
Ooh, righto.
They've just got to find it. You don't always find it, though. You don't always play your best, did you? You've had another gear on the golf course for about 15 years. You just can't get it.
Yeah, it's like we're going uphill into the wind.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll come out eventually.
It'll happen one day.
Yeah. Hey, Roo, tell us about the comments of Hawthorn coach Alistair Clarkson.
Well, he sort of shrugged it off a little bit and tried to compare it to ball tampering. Ball tampering's going on everywhere. Everyone's been pinching in the game for years. I don't know about that, Clarko. It has been going on, I'll give it that, but nowhere near to the level of what Stratton did on the weekend. I think he's trying to deflect his captain. I don't think it's good enough. I think it's an ugly look for the game, and I think it needs to be stamped out at the tribunal tonight.
But he did defend him, didn't he?
He did a bit, which, you know, I can understand your coach defending him, but sometimes you got to give him a clip.
All right, that's our look at sport. Hey, just quickly too, Bangladesh thrashed the West Indies in the World Cup overnight by 7 wickets. That's an upset.
That's a good wake-up call for Australia because we play them on Thursday night.
Yeah, indeed. Watch the NRL reigning Premier Sydney Roosters take on fierce rivals Melbourne Storm Friday, 28th of June at Adelaide Oval. Tickets at tickertech.com.au.
No, it's usually me with dodgy mates, Stitz, but you've got a story about a dodgy tradie mate of yours up next.
All the tradies out there, listen out.
Triple M. Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Bruins, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, I went down to Alberton on Sunday, Roo, as I told you. This man had leather poisoning. Brad Ebert.
I don't know about that early, but...
No, you look good.
By the end, yeah, felt okay by the end.
Yeah, well done.
So, cheers, mate. It was good fun, so... Nah, good to get out there anyway.
How'd you go with your helmet?
Yeah, not bad.
You got a bad whack in the end there, and people were getting a bit worried about you, and you just toughed it out?
Yeah, well, I got a bit of a knock, but I think it was just one of those ones where, you know, two bodies come together. Somehow I keep getting myself in those positions where the ball just sits on my head, so I've got to read it better.
Does the helmet work? Like, did you feel it was doing anything, or did it just give you confidence?
Probably gave me confidence, and actually in that marking contest there, I felt like that was one of those ones where a glancing blow from the side, you know, were probably the ones that were probably causing a little bit of trouble at times, and I felt like I was able to get away from that one okay. So, maybe it did.
All right. Yeah. Now, we want to go back.
By the way, it's good to see that you got down to Alberton as well, didn't you?
Yes.
That's the first time in a few years, I hear.
Loved it.
Yeah, loved it.
Had a family reunion down there. Hey, the last quarter, I want to read out some stats. Port v Freo. Disposals 118-79. Contested possessions 51-26. That is world record pace. Clearances 15-3. Inside 50s 20-5. Score was 3-4.
Yeah.
That's not good enough. And I'm presuming yesterday's review at the footy club was pretty scathing on some people.
Yeah, mate. I think that, you've touched on it. It wasn't good enough. And the boys understood that because they did so much well in those first three quarters. To be able to let it go like that was real disappointing. So, yeah, they definitely, we reviewed it hard. And I'm sure that the boys will come out firing again. But, yeah, it was one of those ones where... Yeah,
too late, though, now. That was a big game. That was an 8-point game, that one.
Yeah, well, it was a big one. It was. But, hey, we just got to make sure that, hopefully get a few boys coming back in and we can really make the change.
I said to Roo yesterday that we only got to go back a few weeks against Hawthorn. Didn't score in the first quarter, 0-0, and then didn't score in the last quarter against Fremantle. Mm. Is there a problem?
I don't think there's a problem, no.
But that's not good.
No, it wasn't. And you know, we just touched on a few areas that are easily corrected, which can really make a big difference. And I think that as a group, we're going to really try and, fix up a couple things that can, just help with, the inside 50s and stuff like that probably come off of the back of...
Everything else.
Contested
possession.
Yeah.
The rucks were badly beaten by a bloke who had 1 minute off in the last quarter.
Yeah, and that was...
How does that happen?
Oh, look, mate, the boys...
They were tired.
Yeah, which...
Is there a China hangover or...
You'd hope
did
not.
They just look tired because they were chasing butts or...
chasing what?
Chasing bums.
Oh, I thought you did say that. Mate, look, I can't speak for them, but...
Potom, you weren't playing.
Huh?
Get them sacked so you can get a game.
And you want to get their spot.
Come on, they weren't good enough.
Door, mate.
They need leadership. They need some wise old heads in the side.
Yeah, look, a part of this is what happens behind closed doors should stay there. But you must be able to give Port supporters some sort of insight. Ken Hinckley or someone must have gone off yesterday. You're saying, oh, yeah, we addressed it, we talked about it. Those numbers are shocking. Oh, someone must have said something.
They are very, very poor. And I know within the line meetings and with all that, we made sure that we really reviewed it hard. And Kenny himself really did have a good, strong
word. So he let rip, did he?
No, he didn't get let rip, but he was firm in what he said and he was constructive in the way that... We will go forward with it.
He's ducking and diving this year.
Come on, Evo. Tell the truth. Sorry. Get out of here.
It was a strong meeting.
And the boys, or what?
No, but it was a strong meeting. It wasn't like a crisis meeting or anything like that. I think that we just reviewed it like we should. It was a poor loss, and we'll make amends for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's as... strong as I can go.
Right.
All right, good work, Ed.
Now, I want to ask him who's going to come in, because there are some, when I looked at that Magpie side on Sunday, geez, a lot of AFL-type players in that side. So
mate, it was, yeah.
Who comes in? More with Brad Ebert in just a moment. See if he'll answer a question. See if we can get him to. 7.48, ruined it's on Triple M. Brad Ebert, our special guest here in the studio. Righto, who should be in, who should be out now? So Ollie Wines, yourself, Bradley Ebert.
Yep.
Ready to go. Charlie ready. Dixon.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, I think all three
so
of those
So there's three.
Yep.
Three that are going to come back. Are you definitely going to put your hand up to play? Are you definitely comfortable to go back in and perform against the side that's on top of the ladder on Saturday night football?
Yeah, I definitely am, mate. Yeah.
You going to put your hand up?
I'm putting my hand up. Well, I feel confident.
Well, that would say to me that you're going to play, because Ken English should respect your opinion on where you're at and if you are ready to perform. So I think there's minimum three changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dixon comes in, I think Atoll's got to go out. One tool's got to go out. Your rucks.
Can I just tell you something? Last night, Graham Corn shocked me. He said that Lysette should be dropped on Channel 7. I think it's very, very harsh. And I'll tell
Lysette's
you why.
Lysette's been better than Ryder.
Yeah, but Lysette, and he's been could argue, had a quiet game on the weekend. Everyone is saying that the young Frio ruckman beat him. He has been outstanding, Lysette, and I think you can give him one bad week.
I feel like the consistency of a year should outdo
Of course it does.
I think he's been, he has really led from the front with aggression too, I reckon.
I think, Graham probably
I
had
was very
out.
Harsh.
Yeah, he probably had to make some strong calls for TV, but yeah, I don't think Scotty's.
But is it fair to say that Paddy Ryder's not in great form?
Paddy Ryder he's having a average year at best, I think, Paddy. Probably struggling because he's not in the ruck as much. He's a ruckman. He's not a key forward. And he doesn't. He's never been a key forward, and he never will be. But he can play there, and he can play patches of it. So he's a typical ruckman who's better when he's the number one man. So stick with him in your side? Do you drop him to give him a wake-up call? Do you try and play Ryder, Dixon, Westhoff? Howard would have to go back, which probably might have to anyway. So Ryder's in the gun a little bit. Motlop must be in the gun for me. I would have dropped him after the last showdown. I thought his performance when he pulled out against Rory Sloane wasn't good enough back then.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mind him giving him another chance. I'm all for that, backing up your players and supporting him.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get Brad to say who should be dropped.
I'm not asking him. I'm telling him. I would have dropped him last time.
Right. I want to ask you who should come in. I want to ask you who should come in, right? I'm going to tell you who should come in.
But you can't just say again, who's coming in and not going out. That's easy.
Joel Garner. I thought this was a segment where I contributed.
Joel Garner should be playing.
Joel Garner is a good player, and I think that he was also a fantastic fast for West Indies. And
how many halfback flankers do you want in your side, Ditz?
The way the game's playing now, some can play on the wing.
Yeah, and I think
the
that's
way
the way
it's played
that,
now.
Yeah, I think
so. You're going to play Garner on the wing,
or you drop a halfback flanker.
Well, he holds his. Yeah,
who?
He probably holds up a.
You
a
can't
back
drop your halfback. You got Houston. You got Hamish Hartlett. You've got Darcy Byrne Jones.
They stay.
You got Ryan Burton.
We're playing 24.
You're playing six halfback flankers in your side.
They're going to start playing forward now. We're going to have Houston down forward again. That's where it started.
Anyway, leave it up to the experts.
Hey, mate, there'll be I'm sure there'll
I reckon
be a few changes,
Amon, Ponna, and Motlop are in the gun.
They're in the gun.
Yeah, okay.
Do you rate Joel Garner?
Like I said, I do. Yeah, I really think that when you're talking about like just a strong, hard, contested, footballer, I think he's brilliant like that.
See, Rudy, this is where stats are stupid. He got 12 stats on the weekend, so people would read
bloody,
that. And
it must
go,
have been bloody good.
Yeah, but people would read it and go, "Oh, you only missed a few." Ditch, you don't know what you're talking about.
Must have punched really well.
He did. This is the thing. He was courageous, and he took strong marks.
You talked about our problem in the last quarter about our contested ball and defending, and he was fantastic in that space.
I liked him when he played the game a couple of weeks ago. I thought he was good and stiff to get dropped.
For the sake of this, please, and my credibility, because I cop hits from him all the time. Just say you agree with me, will you?
Oh, certainly. What? Guns.
Me.
I definitely agree
Thank
with
you.
You. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Get out of here. Thanks for coming in, Ebo, and filling
really
in for Tex
It was really
Walker.
Good to listen to you this morning, boys. It was good.
Hey, you know what? You can go down to drive down Port Road and take everything you've just learnt from us take it into the team.
I'm just
going to
go straight into match committee and say, boys, please.
This is why I'm playing this week, because Roo said Motlop, Amon, and Bonner should
don't
get dropped.
Look at your sheet. You should know that.
Good on you, Brad. Thanks for coming
in. Good luck this week, mate.
Cheers, guys.
On Ruined It's for breakfast, it's time to tickle your taste buds.
This is something you eat every time Adelaide wins a premiership. You make mac and cheese, you set it in the fridge, you cut it into squares, you crumb it, you fry it, you serve it with a chili mayo, some jalapenos.
Oh, that's hot!
and it's this crunchy girl and ball of goodness. I'm hungry now.
Please give a big welcome to Matt Preston.
Oh, the big fella with the cravat, he's here. How are you, Matt?
I'm another grumpy old man. I'm great to be here. That's what I like to be.
Because we put on a kilo every time you come here, because you give us so many great ideas and restaurants to visit.
On that note, yesterday you went to Press, one of our great restaurants here. Now, you're talking about desserts without sugar. What's going on there?
What sort of garbage is that, Matt?
That's not dessert.
You're not. You don't obey those orders.
Well, you know what is? We did this challenge where people like to use cereal, right, with Heston when he was in on Sunday.
Cereal?
And breakfast cereal. And there's some cool things.
What, cornflake?
Like Honey Joys or chocolate crackles. Or you can use them for lots of other, nuts and bolts, classic, cold French onion soup, chicken soup, dry, sprinkled in.
That's what you get when you go to Ditz's, John.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, and there's nothing wrong with Ditz and a classic. Ditz is a man who's all about the classics.
Thank you.
But you know, one of the things we did was look at the sugar levels on some of those cereals, even the ones that class themselves as,
healthy,
they're like 35% sugar.
Yeah, shocking.
So the idea is to show that desserts don't have to have high processed white sugar in there. You can make them with other things that make them sweet.
Like Farmers Union iced coffee?
Well, that might have a bit of sugar hidden away in it there. Just a wee bit.
You can have dessert without sugar.
Fat-free.
That's the great thing. You can play around with those. I think it's fun playing around with iconic things that you find in Ditz's fridge. That's the way to go.
Now, if I said to you, with your background, if I said to you banoffee pie, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. It's a 1970s dessert that merges banana and toffee.
Yeah, you just said no fruit. Yeah, you said dessert does not have fruit. And then you go, what about a banoffee pie?
You put cans of condensed milk. I watched my mother make this when I was a kid. Can of condensed milk in a boiling pot of water.
Just stop it right there. Just eat the condensed milk. How good was that?
I know.
A little bit of salt on it. That's the original salted caramel. It's brilliant. Yeah, but you can now buy that condensed milk ready done, so you don't have to risk blowing up cans of condensed milk.
The other one, us poor kids, what we had for dessert sometimes was cinnamon toast. Did you ever have that?
Cinnamon toast.
You make toast, which I can make.
Yeah, well done.
You put butter on it, sugar, and cinnamon.
Yeah, nice.
Unbelievable.
It's
cinnamon
delicious.
Toast.
There's nothing. It's like
nuts and bolts, cinnamon toast.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it simple.
Mate, my mum was 25 stone. She reckons she didn't like making dessert.
Just rice and milk with sugar on it?
Well, no, because I went to Poland to do Marsha Poland, and one of their big things there is a milk soup, which is yesterday's rice
with
milk and sugar.
I grew up with that.
We forget in the old days, we all come from a peasant background. It was carbs and something to flavour it, whether it was sugar or soy sauce or XO or fish sauce. You had to find somewhere.
We were so poor where we came from.
That's right.
We dipped our bread in the pudding.
And bread pudding. How good's bread pudding?
Yeah, I know. Bread and butter pudding.
Bread and butter pudding is a beautiful dessert.
Now, Matt, you're very loving. You come in here and you talk nice and
not always
fancy about the food and everything. Yeah, but I tell you what, I've just noticed something on the show. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you've been partying a little bit too much or out too late. But you're getting a little bit grumpy on the show lately. Are you being the ruthless individual?
You've become the tough judge.
What's happening?
We've all, bizarrely, in the last 2 weeks, we've all been accused of becoming the tough judge. No, I think we're just having more fun. And we're being a bit more honest.
Someone else's experience.
You know what I mean? No, because the weird thing with this group, they're one of the nicest groups of contestants we've ever had. They're a really lovely group of people. But they just have brain farts the whole time.
Oh.
And you just go, what are you doing? That was never going to be a good idea. We don't mind if you admit you made a mistake. That didn't work. That's cute. But when you bring the metal base of the tart case, and don't tell us, and George is trying to cut through it, and he discovers this big ring of metal underneath, he's going to get grumpy.
Yeah, can't George work that out for himself?
No, because
there's a bit of metal here.
No, because there's a large amount of pastry and caramel on the top, so you can't see it.
Right.
So he's cutting through, and George, not the sharpest tool in the shed.
George,
George been kicked out of any soccer matches lately, or not?
No, he does meditation, mindfulness. Now, the latest thing with George was he got hit in the eye with a squash ball.
I know.
And basically, basically said three operations to find.
Oh, it's a tough game, Squash. It's a really tough game.
Now, so you say that, but it's the same injury that a lot of ruckmen get from the elbow, because the tip of your elbow is the same size as a squash ball,
right,
and it fits perfectly inside the socket, so it squidges the eyeball.
Mm.
Now, quickly bring up the fact that you're doing a national tour for IKEA?
Yeah, I'm
what are you promoting, Allen keys or something?
Test out the strength of the chairs.
insect snorkel. Actually, what a great idea! What a perfect.
They can even handle that pressure.
I, you know what the best thing is? I found these because obviously I go and I play with the food that they've got there, which is lovely. But I also find all these other things. Like I found a pink octopus that looked just like Heston Blumenthal. Same glasses, like literally, you know, bald pink head, same glasses. Yeah, looks on. Exactly. You'll see it on my Instagram feed. It's like that is Heston Blumenthal in soft toy form. With extra legs.
You can find him at IKEA. Good luck, mate. Thanks for joining us again.
So this is a meatball tour of Australia as well.
What's the food like at IKEA?
It's incredibly cheap, and it's probably one of the cheapest places to eat in Australia.
Rice and sugar?
No, mashed potato and meatballs.
Apparently, they say that the meatballs and their hot dogs are meant to be the gun thing.
Yeah, they're absolutely great.
They're brilliant.
Cheap. And IKEA has this whole thing about make stuff for the many. You know, not the sort of fancy, high-end pub food that some people in this room do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, $30 steak.
At one of their five pubs.
35.
Oh, 35. 35, yeah, exactly.
Well, I've had a drought.
And then you've got to put a little bit of side dishes on
extra
for an extra 10 each.
Salad for
$9, $12 for potatoes.
Extra for sauce.
Yeah, you've eaten there, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I know. It's like something
Matt,
I
we love it when you come and see us. Good luck with the rest of the series of MasterChef.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with your national tour of IKEA as well.
Thank you very much indeed.
Good on you. Matt Preston, our guest here on Triple M.
Schnoogle.
Ruined it's here on Triple M. Enough
fair to say, as soon as you told us you were going to McLaren Vale on a wine tour for a client, and you're just giving. Fair
to
say, my eyes, Alice's ears, Mel's eyes and ears all pricked and thought, this is Content Monday. No doubt about that. He's not getting away with a winery tour without doing something wrong. Mm. As we found out yesterday, you did end up going to soccer and you did abuse the opposition, you abused umpires, you abused opposition supporters. Just after we did a half an hour on crowd violence
behavior.
And behaviour at AFL football, so that was good timing, Dits. Mm-hmm. But we just thought we'd recap a couple of your lesser moments over the last year or so off the field and then go to the next stage of the weekend. So it's a big few minutes coming up. Let's go back to your induction into the Squash South Australia Hall of Fame.
I had my sister at the table and I'd ordered a car for her at 10:45 to get home.
Yep.
Things were running late, so I got off stage. I was the last one up, as I said. And what had happened, Roo, was as I was walking out, they said, we need you for photos. And I said, look, give me 2 minutes. So when I come back in, and I'm now really panicking, I can't get back in.
Why not?
I don't know, but the lifts don't go back up.
What did you do?
I'm running around going, how? I've got to get back in. And the last resort, I've got to run up the escalator the wrong way. So the escalator's coming down. And it's the only way back
in. That is a big one there,
anyway,
too.
And full of juice. I took a run up and I'm sprinting. My arms and legs are pumping and I'm getting up and I nearly get to the top.
And what happened?
And I slip over. I caught the top. I fall over. And I'm laying on my stomach and I go back down a fair way to halfway and I get up again. And I go, right, here we go again. And I take off and I'm pumping my arms and I get up. Roo, I've fallen over a second time. And I fall over a third time. And I can't. And the harder I try, I just can't get up. Anyway, I get to the top and I'm breathing through my backside at this stage. I'm that tired. When I look up, because the function's over, there's literally 100 people at the top of the escalator just watching me. And no one's laughing or smiling. Everyone's it's like, what is this idiot doing?
You were just unlucky. And we did find out the next day. In fact, had a phone call from the Stadium Management Authority. There are buttons in the lift and they do take you to the level. You didn't have to run up there at all.
It wasn't very signposted.
You were just a bit cockeyed there on that occasion. Not long after that one,
now
Dits,
what?
You fell into the creek.
Oh, yeah. At my sister-in-law's 50th, Celia, and they just live around the corner and they have a great backyard, huge backyard, and they had a band and we had a brilliant party.
Yep.
Anyway, I walked home in the dark. I don't know if someone tripped me up.
I'm taking another tumble.
Took a tumble and I ended up in a creek bed.
And the bloke saved you from the creek and walked you back and you didn't know who he was and
slept
what had happened. Anyway.
Now what?
Well, we just a bit more information's come across our desk from the weekend that you might have dropped your phone on Friday night and you might have had a knock on the door on Saturday morning. And the knock on the door, bloke's come to the door. Oh. The bloke who dropped you off, you've knocked the door and you go, who are you? And the bloke, very shattered, this bloke, who's gone out of his way to drive you home after you'd had a few drinks. And he said, I dropped you home last night. And he went, oh, did you? And he said, yeah. And by the way, here's your phone.
Yeah, he gave my phone back.
Yeah, because, you left the phone in the car. And you said, oh, hang on. And you went in and you were dressed in your robe here and you looked like you'd been stung in the face by a bee because you're a bit swollen up. And you gave him a bottle of red for bringing your phone back. And he goes, I don't drink.
No.
And he was a bit like an Atomic's dad. He was a big sort of European fella.
Big strong fella.
And he had his little fella with him. Well,
oh, he said, oh, my son plays under 18s.
Oh, under 18s.
For Adelaide Comets.
And the bloke said, this is a world champion, son. You're standing there in your robe,
Hug
with bloodshot in your eyes, breathing fire. And the bloke goes, you got any advice for my son? And you go, don't drink. Is that right?
I thought it was good advice.
Oh,
that boy's going to remember that for the rest of his life, the day he met a world champion.
Remember that world champion, what he said to your son? Don't drink. good on you.
So have you had enough?
Yep, I've had enough. I always love having fun at someone else's expense. I love other people being in trouble. Bloody
Peter Perfect that I work with.
Now, am I allowed to say
what
your wife said?
What? No.
I'm going out with the town drunk.
Stop laughing, man.
I'm going out with the town
drunk. No, I was a bit hurt when she said that.
Did that cut deep?
Bloody oath.
Going out with the town drunk.
I have married her. I'm not just going out with
her. That's right. I'm married to the town drunk.
She's got me for good.
She's got you. Bad luck, Kate.
Adelaide Tools Massive Steel Outdoor Power Equipment Massive 2-Day Sale is on Friday and Saturday. All five stores, adelaidetools.com.au.